Okay, here we go. Good evening, everyone from Gustavus City Hall. I'm Mayor Taylor. It's 7 p.m. and I'd like to call the August 8, 2022 general meeting to order. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes, just a second. I'm navigating on this little itty bitty tiny screen. Alrighty, Councilmember Sharman.
Here.
Councilmember Furr.
Here.
Councilmember Vanderzanden.
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop, I believe, is absent tonight. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor Taylor.
That's correct.
Okay. Councilmember Makowiak?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
And Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Okay, we have six council members present and a quorum exists.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And here in City Hall, we have Sally McLaughlin and Leslie Surstad in the audience. Fire Chief Sol Martinez is helping with projecting the packet on the screen, and Kathy Leary, our city administrator, is here as well. So welcome again to everybody. I would like to begin by asking Council Member Tanya Lewis to read our vision statement. Can we project it up there for her?
I have it as well. So we envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety and promotes personal development and initiative, where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decisions affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people can retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively and work together to accomplish community goals while preserving community traditions.
Thank you. Before starting the meeting, I'd like to ask everybody please to mute your phones and keep your video off so we've got enough bandwidth. The meeting is being recorded and will be posted to the website. The packet will be projected and is also available online on the city website, cms.gustavus-ak.gov. And our first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for the July 18 general meeting. I'd like to recognize Councilmember Lewis Sharman for a motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move for council adoption resolution CY22-14. I'm sorry, to approve by unanimous consent the July 18th, 2022 general meeting minutes. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
I'll second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the July 18 general meeting minutes by unanimous consent. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? So raise your hand online. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, it looks good. Are there any objections to passing the July 18, 2022 general meeting minutes by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing none, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. The next item is Mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no requests for agenda changes. Do any council members wish to reorder anything on the agenda for any reason? Okay, seeing none, the agenda is set as posted. And we'll move on to staff reports. And we ask those making reports to state your name, department, and keep the reports to 5 minutes or less. Many of you have submitted very nicely written reports, which helps a lot. And the council may offer clarifying questions. And so the first report is from the Gustavus Visitors Association. And we have Leah Oaken, I believe, online to speak to that report. Leah?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, good. So for the report, my name is Leah Oaken. I'm the president of the Visitors Association. And you have in front of you our end of year progress report. So this is basically a summary of what we've been up to this year and what's gone on. So I'm going to zap down to the second page, if you will. And on that second page, if you go ahead and move that page to the second page, that'd be great. I'm just waiting for you to move the page to the second page. So there you go. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to go down to the bottom of that page, the last bullet points there. So completed to task. So this is a summary of what we've been up to this year. So I'm just going to zap through this just in case you haven't had a chance to read it. And for those who are listening on the phone and who don't have this in front of them. So we've had a wonderful year this year. So just to summarize some of the things we've been up to, we have maintained our marketing memberships, our Southeast Alaska Tourism, our Travel Alaska, our Alaska Travel Industry Association, our Travel Juno. We've been distributing our Gustavus news bulletins randomly. So it's not a monthly bulletin. This is an occasional bulletin that we distribute to businesses and to the community. And this has been a huge success. We have 177 subscribers and increasing. We've actually had a few more this week that I didn't write onto that subscription list. And we have another news bulletin that will be out at the end of this month. And just to let you know some of the things that we put, if you haven't had a chance to look at those news bulletins, the idea of this is to, in the fact that we don't have a Gustavus newsletter anymore, that this is sort of taking the place of answering those questions that people have. So in the next bulletin that we've got coming up, that you can stay tuned for, we have an update of what's going on in the Gustavus Inn. We may have an update of what's going on in Sunnyside. We have an update on Island Air. We have an update on, it's just basically, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but it's basically answering the questions the community have. So it's not, you know, Tidelines and the Gustavus Community Center and the library, public library and City Hall are very good at putting out their emails of what they've got going on individually. But what our newsletter does is it talks about other things that are going on in the community that are not necessarily publicized that the community might be wondering about. So that's the news bulletin. And we've been, so our next bullet there is we've been attending the Travel Industry Association marketing webinars. We completed a 3-month social media campaign with Alaska Magazine, which has 400,000 followers. We are still waiting to relocate the visitor kiosk. Elm is on task for doing that, but he's been really busy. So we're hoping to get that done as soon as he has a time slot to do it. We'll go to the next page, please, Sol. We did have it spruced up. So Lou Cassiopo did a good sprucing up of the artwork. Okay, well, I'll just talk through it. Okay, there you go. So we have some, we've been distributing stickers. We have a Gustavus events calendar on our site. We list all the events that are going on in town, not just what's going on at the GCC or what's going on at the library or what's going on at the city hall, but sort of all events can be seen on one page, one stop. If you're wondering what's going on in Gustavus, you can have a look at the calendar, the Gustavus calendar on our site. Bookmark that site. You can kind of keep tabs on what's going on. We distributed maps and brochures. So that's basically what we've been up to as far as town things. And then on our website, we've done all sorts of things. Our website is all roads lead to our website, basically. If you're looking online, and so many people do things online, right? Goals that qualify as conversions on our websites. So we did clicks to business websites, clicks to business phone numbers, clicks to business emails, GBA map downloads, and GBA brochures. And I just want to speak to this a little bit more. This is by far the most impactful website work carried out this last year. Thing of specific websites and visitor goals is called conversions. And as of February, we're now actively tracking visitor conversions on our website. Is now in place and is the success of our campaigns as well as the website as a whole. So I'm speaking, this is not actually written down. I'm just giving you more information about probably the most important or just the most valuable change that we've done is adding this level of tracking. So we can more effectively measure the success of our campaign into the results of our ad spend on our desired outcomes, so we can make better use of our limited time and money resources, streamline more detailed reporting, providing more transparency to our members and to the community about the value of GVA. So that's the conversions there. And we've also, in the next bullet there, we integrated Google Tag Manager to begin tracking visitor conversions, corrected broken phones and email website links on our profiles, removed duplicate data, removed interactive businesses, researched, tested site speeds. The speed of your site is really important in this world of, you know, people are jumping from site to site to site, and they don't want a site that's slow to load when they jump on it. They want it to come up immediately. They want to be able to navigate to where they want to go and then move on. And we updated the map and brochure. So those are all the things we've been doing. And I think we've had a really good season this year. Just to summarize as to how the summer has looked, we went into the summer with, I would say, you know, personally, what I can see is that the biggest effect or challenge that we have had this year has been the effects of COVID. We've had more staff and more visitors who have come down with the unfortunate inconvenience of COVID, which has limited their visiting, their ability to enjoy the trip that they had planned. And for staff, we were low on staff to begin with, and then the staff that we had, you know, many of the staff got sick, and the businesses had to limp along with even more limited staff. So it's been a challenging year, COVID wise, but I think we had a good successful season this year. We've got big plans for the fiscal year 2023, but probably our biggest thing that we are planning on doing is putting together a new video, which is going to be very short, a collection of videos, a story kind of board of videos that can be utilized in social media and various different marketing avenues about Gustavus. So this is more, Sean Nielsen did a wonderful selection of videos previously that can be seen on our website and are already utilized in marketing. But this next section of videos is going to be more of what is unique about Gustavus? You know, everywhere, every community in Alaska has bears and whales, but why should they come here? What is different here? What is the what are the characters? What is the draw? So we were hoping to interview some people who are willing to be interviewed and kind of get more of the artistic, the music, the stories, the personalities, and draw that into a new video. That's our fiscal year 23 big project that we've got coming up. So that's about the summary. Probably gone over my time. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. It does look like a pretty successful season. The treasurer indicated to me that our sales and room tax receipts are up sharply for in our receipts during July, and that's an indicator that our businesses are doing pretty well. So despite the complications of COVID and the difficulties for visitors who come down in the middle of their trip with an infection, so thanks for the great work. Any council members with questions for Leah Okun? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Thank you, Leah. And I do encourage people to... our city administrator has a question.
Hi, Leah. Thanks for all that. So to the event page, is there a process by which if somebody wanted to put something on it, like can they post it there? Do they need to email it to somebody within your organization? Or what is the process for getting something on the calendar?
Thank you. That is a great question. And I'm looking to make that a little bit more user-friendly so that anybody can post to it. It's a Google Calendar. So at the moment, probably the best way to post to it is just to shoot me off an email and I'll add it on. But it is a Google calendar that is open to the public. It's a public calendar. But I'm hoping to send out links that will enable people to add events to the calendar more readily. So anybody can add an event. At the moment, only I can add an event as the administrator of that calendar. But I'm hoping to make that one of my tasks is to make it more user-friendly and so that anybody can add an event to it. So at the moment, if somebody wants to add an event, they just shoot me off an email and say, please add this event to it. And I put it up there. So that's the way it is right now. And as soon as I can make it more user friendly for other people to add links, I shall email that out. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I encourage council members to take a look at that website. If you haven't looked at it this year, I need to go back to it, having looked at it only at the start of the summer. It sounds like there's some good additions to it lately. So thank you very much, Leah, for that report. And I'd like to move on to the report from the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition, their quarterly report, and recognize Sally McLaughlin to our table here. And Sally, hit the button on the mic there to turn that on and pull it toward you. That'll do it probably.
All right, good evening, everybody. This is Sally McLaughlin with I'm the GPAC treasurer and secretary. The legislature adjourned in the spring with passage of neither of the bills that were before them, the Senate bill and the House bill. So they will be introduced again next year and likely with some major edits given the EPA's recent announcement, which I'll talk about in a minute. Both bills did receive hearings in their respective finance committees, and we did gain bipartisan support by continuing to bring attention to the issue. The next three bullet points are just about articles, Gustavus and PFAS and health effects and all that in the news. The article that was written and presented on the blood testing study that we did here in conjunction with the Alaska Community Action on Toxics and the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition collaborated with Indiana University in a study to assess PFAS exposure and potential health effects in Gustavus. That was done in the fall of 2019. And I put a link in here to the article for that. And that they did find that contaminated drinking water from private wells and blood serum levels are directly and positively correlated, meaning that PFAS contributes negatively to the overall health of Gustavus residents. National attention is on this issue as well. There was just recently another article published on a study and a report that calls for expanded blood testing and ongoing health monitoring for those with high PFAS exposure, which many of us have. Gustavus also made national news in The Guardian in an article in which the author shows that analysis of water samples nationwide are likely missing significant levels of PFAS pollutants. But fortunately for us, the study shows that our compounds that were are being accounted for accurately with the current method of testing. The biggest news came in June when the EPA issued their new lifetime health advisories, also known as LHAs, for the four PFAS chemicals to below current detectable levels, which is likely to change things in a major way. It's going to change the way the state approaches the whole issue, and they are expected to follow the EPA's lead in lowering health and safety levels. But it also, well, I'll just go on and read this. They're making $5 billion, with a B, dollars available for mitigation. So hopefully the last will be able to get some of that. Last year we did, with the help of the city, we installed the passive flux meters and extracted them. And that testing was, the results from that testing was given to DOT. DOT made it a priority to summarize that and move forward on, you know, determining whether plume stop is going to work here. But they were totally sidelined by this, the new announcements and this. They put it aside, but they do still hope to get back to it again this summer. I don't know, we'll see. DOT has been has been awarded an environmental mitigation pilot study federal grant at the Fairbanks Airport. And there's a company named Aquaga, which we've shared information with you folks before. That is going to use their pump and treat technology as part of that study. And they have expressed an interest in using their technology here at the DOT well, should this study prove successful in Fairbanks. But right now the evaluation of the flux meter data and the use of plume stop and going forward there is out of our hands completely, while DOT and Shannon and Wilson assess the data and determine costs and hopefully make a plan to move forward. It sounds like that's probably what they're going to do, but there's been no promises made. I don't have to go over this right now, but we will be sending you a letter asking to shift our focus a little bit to hopefully expanding the testing area so that we can determine how many of those people, well, how many more people are affected, because if the LHAs are down to below detectable levels, there's a lot of people in Gustavus right now who are thinking they're okay because they're below 60 parts per trillion. If the new, then it could change things a lot. But armed with that information, it could, you know, make bode well for us in, for, you know, getting more immediate and remediation. So we're hopeful, but I think it's, everything's just going to be take even longer than it already has.
Thank you, Sally. I have a question here. You say the new limits are below detectable level. You're saying they're below the detection limit for the method that was used to analyze the groundwater samples.
That's correct.
So does that mean that Shannon Wilson will have to resample with a new testing protocol to reach lower detection limits on the samples?
That's very possible. And I don't know what they're going to do, because I don't think the state has actually taken any action yet on on determining what their new LHAs are. Okay. I think that all that is still up in flux, which also brings up another point, is that maybe we shouldn't be spending any money on further testing on our own with our EFG funds if Shannon and Wilson are going to come in and do it anyway.
With state funding.
Right. Yeah. So that's something to think about.
Okay, we'll look forward to your continuing advice to us on that.
We'll keep you posted.
Do any council members have a question for Sally McLaughlin? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up. Thank you very much for the report and the links in it. Did you have something?
Yeah. I had a question. Do you foresee, as a result of this, the state or any funding whatsoever to do further blood test samples from people potentially impacted by this?
I would love to see that. I don't know. This study that was put out in this nationalacademies.org newsletter is, calling for that anybody who's been exposed at high levels should be considered for expanded blood testing and ongoing healthcare monitoring of effects.
So if your test results for your water were just below the threshold that was recognized, but now the threshold is lower, you might be able to be included in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my
question. Could be, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both. Thank you, Sally, for the report. We'll move on now to item 4, the Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center quarterly report from our manager, Paul Berry. He has a very nice written report.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Sorry, I jumped the gun there, Mike. I've written out a quarterly report and also the annual facility statistics for 5 years. That's each of my four quarterly reports kind of has a theme, and a lot of this one is around the information that's on that 5-year comparison. So I encourage you to, if you haven't already, read the report because it just has, what is pertinent at the facility at this point in time. And an interesting thing about the statistics report is that we're pretty much back to pre-pandemic levels, FY19 being, that kind of the ascension in terms of how much waste the facility was processing. And in FY22, we're getting very close to that number again. One of the disappointing things for me in looking at this data is that overall we're recycling less in terms of what people bring to the facility. We are recycling less, even though we're bringing more waste. Of that waste, we're recycling less of it. The good news in that is because of the dedicated staff at the DRC, we recover a lot of recyclables out of the waste stream, such as food waste, aluminum cans, glass bottles, steel, stuff like that. So when someone brings us mixed waste, we're actually recovering a lot of that. So even though what people deliver is less than 50% recycled, after the fact, after we do our processing, we're doing more recycling than that. I don't know what that amount is because we don't weigh it quite the same, but so we're still recycling a lot, but the public is kind of dropping in its activity in that. And that's something I hope we can turn around as the community goes forward, because the recycling is a real important thing for a lot of different reasons. And other things in the report were just kind of an update. Well, on the hazardous waste event, I kind of carefully went over that, some things to look out for the next time that's processed, as far as working with Clean Harbors, not taking things for granted, kind of doing more, making sure whoever the city hires for it, that they're providing what they say they're going to provide. And we have not yet gotten a bill in for it, so I'm not sure of the exact cost, but it's hopefully will be in the projection that I put in there. That was what their quote, even though, you know, you don't know how much material you're going to get. But since it was roughly the same amount as 2018, 12,000 and some odd pounds, that kind of gives us an idea for the price. And again, it states that our next one will be 2024 for the next manager to projects as far as Quonset replacement and new building replacement, just things that I've information I've taken in and working with P&D engineers on the new building. That's a real exciting project, but it's going to take a while. It's got a lot of things to be decided there, and it will be expensive when it finally comes forward, but I want a facility that's going to last this community for quite a while. So that's basically my report, and I'll take any questions if you have them.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Question I have, and then I'll get to Lewis and Tanya too. Is there an opportunity to begin to recycle more plastics that we used to recycle? I know that's a big piece of the change in your diversion ratio that you mentioned in the report. The fact that a lot of plastics that we used to recycle, we can't anymore. Are there any new opportunities for that?
Yes, there is, and it is recycling. You might recall, some of you might recall in my report, I think it was a year ago, there was an outfit out of Utah, whose name, of course, escapes me right now because I'm giving a report, but they were looking at taking waste products, and they did get their pilot project. So they are hoping to come to the Stavis next summer with a trailer of equipment, basically a shredder and an extruder, and experiment, because this is a pilot project, or something like that. I mean, I think it's going to be low quality. Well, I can't say it's going to be low quality plastic, but it's going to be, you know, plastics is different. So I think improve what we can do for plastic. I don't know in terms of the immediate future if there's going to be changes in the plastic market for taking mixed plastics and stuff like that. Plastics are just, they're very difficult and expensive to recycle, but that's kind of a disincentive for putting a lot into plastics. I mean, that's kind of, yeah, it's really up to the consumer to purchase more products that are made with recycled products, recycled plastics, to increase more demand. That's kind of, you know, the most important thing in this. So, yeah, I just don't know how long it's going to take. But I think the most hopeful thing is SWETI, that's it, Solid Waste Technical Institute. Their work in coming to Gustavus next summer with their pilot project for trying to create plastic lumber products out of low-grade plastics. You know, they're in our landfill. You know, they want to try, you know, the low-quality stuff, not the premium type 1 and type 2 plastics that we're currently recycling, but, you know, the stuff that is harder. They might do a spectrum of materials, but just to see what they can produce, you know, with the materials that
you've been a little broken there, but I'll look forward to the opportunities next summer with a pilot project to use some of that plastic that we have been, that's been going into our landfill, perhaps to refashion into products that can be used, such as plastic lumber and so forth. Lewis Sharman has a question for you.
Thanks for the report, Paul. I'm wondering if we can mount some sort of educational campaign to improve our source separation and to improve our recycling rate. Thanks.
I agree.
Uh, So do you have a plan for how we might do that?
Most of the things that I write tend to be the same old story. So I think there has to be a different approach for it be the setting of goals. Since we keep good data on what comes in, perhaps the recycling center, you know, could kind of give monthly amounts. What's our diversion ratio this summer? What's our diversion ratio this winter? And kind of have goals for what that could be or what that should be. I'm kind of open to suggestions on that as far as how best to get that message back out there. And then also, you know, for working with businesses, what incentives can we have to really encourage them to get their clients to pull their recyclables out of the waste stream? You know, is it providing bins? Is it having better sorting things? You know, what is it there? There's a number of different approaches.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think those are all good ideas. I wonder if we could ask you guys over there at the DRC to give us some sort of proposal for how we might move forward on that. You guys are the experts, so we'd like to help you do that, but we need some direction on your part as well. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Paul on his report? Okay, well, thank you very much, Paul. We'll move on to the City Treasurer's monthly financials and quarterly report from our Treasurer, Eduarda Loggins. And I know she was having to zoom in from home and she was uncertain about how well the connection would be. So Eduarda, do we have you on or not tonight? Okay, I'm not seeing Eduarda's come up on the screen here. So she's probably got a connection problem from home tonight. She does have a written report in the packet. And so I'd encourage you to look it over. She did give me some notes here too. The FY22 second with tax returns due or postmarked by 7/31 on the first business day thereafter, meaning some funds were received on the 1st of August. Looking at the tax income, however, shows us $159,473 almost, compared to the same period last year was $124,252. So we're having a very good year in tax income here. From our local businesses, the sign that businesses are doing well. And so that's good news for everybody, and particularly for our city's budget. We, as everybody knows, we budget pretty conservatively, and we're always glad to know that we've underestimated our income so that we're safely in control of our expenses. On federal revenue, in the last fiscal year, we received $102,544 from the American Rescue Plan Act. And that was sort of the first track of money. We just this week got another $54,096 for a total amount so far of $156,640. We are on track to receive a total of $205,000 from that source. So there's still some more federal money coming in on that, and that's all very helpful. And it's the result of work that we did over the last couple of years to identify our expenses and meet all of the requirements for federal support for local government lost revenue and the American Rescue Plan Act. So congratulations to our financial team for good work that made that all possible. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that on the finances, or you don't have to? It's just okay. Okay, so take a look at what's in the packet for that. And but we're doing very well. The next would be to move to our city administrator for her general meeting report, Kathy Leary.
Yes, hello everyone. So while I was away for part of July, which was part of our hiring agreement initially, I continued to work on some ongoing issues. We had some things that needed resolution that were timely and needed to be kept up on. One of which was communicating with the fire chief and providing counselor availability regarding the 4th of July incident, as well as a few other volunteer fire department matters. Other matters included some PFAS issues, and the library are still ongoing. These concerns required consultation with our attorney and are confidential, but time consuming. If you want more general details, you can see me or the mayor. We worked on and provided feedback to the librarians on the upcoming, updating the Gustavus Library policies, which you have before you tonight in the packet. Also, the library is going to hire a temporary teenage intern to help support the summer literacy camp that is happening from August 15th to 18th. This is funded through a community foundation grant, which the library received. I did some work with the treasurer to confirm and clarify some insurance limitations regarding some damaged equipment at the library. And one of the bigger issues, which I've kind of taken on, is continued communications with businesses and individuals and agencies on the lack of our cell phone service here in Gustavus. This isn't going to be an easy process. It's going to be pretty long and pretty involved and require a lot of sort of not backing down. I'm hoping to find out more from our congressional delegation, who have been providing information on some potential funding streams. There's a lot of infrastructure things going on right now. A lot of it's broadband related. I hope to bring up cell phone communications as part of that, not just broadband. The engineers from AT&T did an analysis, I think from afar, however, that indicates that the location of the Y perhaps might not be the best route for the coverage needed. They said that they've been interacting with plans to send a couple of maps that would provide the information once he gets back. He was going to send that to the mayor and myself. We requested it. I'm inclined personally, once we get that, we'll look at it and see the validity of it. If we don't like it, I'm kind of inclined to get an outside opinion on the whole thing with people that don't necessarily have skin in the game or don't think our area pencils out for whatever reason. So we'll look at their study first, and then we'll look at maybe doing something else after that. I'm going to the AML meeting in Sitka, weather providing. and I hope to bring up some of those concerns there, where they're going to be planning on some legislative strategies for the next few years or the next year, and looking at some impacts on communities and various issues with communities. So I welcome any suggestions from council members or anybody else to bring up at this meeting, which I'll be leaving for on the jet tomorrow night. If anybody's got anything they want me to bring up, please email me what you think those should be. I know Paul gave his report, but we have an expiring MOU that was pre-city for solid waste reduction with the National Park Service. So besides operational language and rate structuring, I want to include language in that agreement that could assist with future capital project endeavors. If we get language that's required by the park in there for their rules and regulations or their director's orders or their laws or rules or CFRs, then that'll give us more teeth to go after funding in the future while we're also providing services for them. And we want to form an ad hoc group to convene this fall so we can get working on it. We got a lot going on right now, but hopefully we can do that this fall. So if anybody wants to help out with that, we encourage you to join us. And if anybody has any questions or any other suggestions or comments, I'm happy to hear them. Thank you.
Any questions for our city administrator, council members? Okay, I'm not seeing any new questions, but they know how to reach you when and she's here every day. So glad to have you back from your travels. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to public comment on non-agenda items, the next part of our agenda here. This is for non-agenda items only. It's not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you'd like to make public comment on a non-agenda item at this time, please click on the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you when it's your turn to speak. Remute you when it's your turn to speak, until it's your turn to speak. So state your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Of course, please do not use profanity and be respectful. We'll have one more opportunity at the end of the meeting for a public comment. Do any members of the public have public comment? And we have two here in the room. I'll call on Leslie Sirstad first. Would you step to the microphone, please? And you'll need to push the button to turn it on. You reach that button in the middle of it. Yeah, light will go on. Yeah.
Well, they heard Sally, yeah. I think. No. Oh, that's true.
Okay, Leslie. All right.
Gracefully, of course. This is Leslie Sirstad. Now, this says on non-agenda items, and the second place where we can make comment is also non-agenda items. And I don't know if my item in reference to item number 12 on the agenda?
If it's reference to item 12 on the agenda, that's an agenda item.
That's an agenda item.
And you would have an opportunity to comment at that time on that item.
At that time. But that one says non-agenda also.
Nope, that's under new business. 12 is under new business. It's on absentee voting.
Yes.
And so forth.
No, election? It's not absentee voting. It's contested voting.
Well, it's that also. Yeah. Both. Yes. Yeah, you. We'll call for comments on that, for public input on that when we get to that item on the agenda. So do you have
at some? The time of it. I don't, yes, have not. Okay, then I withdraw that one. But I do request, this is kind of a last minute thing. I do request that you, Mayor, and Council help Paul with his microphone, because an awful lot of us cannot hear what he's saying, and it's important that everybody hears it. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Our city administrator was asking me while that was going on, if I could ask him to adjust it, but I wasn't sure how he to ask him to do that. So, okay, right. Yeah, sometimes we couldn't hear him in the past. So, okay, Sally McLaughlin, also please.
Thank you. A couple months ago, at public comment, Leslie invited people to come in and join her as spectators here at City Hall. And so I have done so. And I'm happy to be here. I'm very glad to be back in this building and attending meetings. And I intend to continue to do so. However, I am extremely disappointed at the number of empty seats in this building tonight. We have only one council member in attendance, and I would very much like to invite all the council members to return to City Hall and have these meetings in person, if at all possible. I understand there's reasons why sometimes people can't make it in, but I would very much like to see council members return to the table and more people come from the public and join us here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Do any council members have a question? Looks like Louis Sharman has a question for you.
Yeah. Yes, Sally, thanks for that comment, and I appreciate it. I wonder if how aware you are that we're sort of in the middle of a COVID surge, and today that surge spiked even more. So I expect that may be one of the reasons why some of us chose to Zoom into the meeting again yet tonight. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Sally McLaughlin? Okay, thank you, Sally.
Can I add and one comment?
You certainly may.
I meant to say this when I was part of mine, is that it wouldn't be quite so bad if the technology that we're using was better, but the technology that we're using is far from ideal and makes it even more difficult to hear and participate at a meeting. But thank you.
Thank you. And I certainly agree that it's nice to have everybody in the room that we possibly can. Okay. Any other public comment on non-agenda items? All right, I'm not seeing any other hands come up, so we'll have another opportunity at the end of the meeting. And that brings us to the new business part of the agenda. And let me flip through my packet to get there. I just realized, though, it doesn't bring us that far. No, I jumped. Consent agenda is the next part of it. So we have four items on the consent agenda. And the first is to approve the calculation of the endowment fund grant amount for the FY23 schedule. And that calculation is on page 27 of the packet. And it follows the set policy and procedure for calculating it. It turns out that the amount that will be available for the city to offer for grants this year will be $36,017.18 total. That's a little bit less than the past, and that's because there's been a squeeze between the inflation adjusted value of the original $965,000 that were in the fund that we try to protect, keep inflation protected. With inflation, the inflation adjusted value of that has gone up. At the same time, the market in which we have our investment invested has declined this year some. So there is for that reason we've dropped from over 40,000. I think it was something like 47,000 last year, down to 36,000 this year. But we're following our policy and procedure, and so that's that item. The next one is to approve on this consent agenda is the Marine Facilities Work Skiff and Trailer Scoping Document generated by our Marine Facilities Coordinator. And it is to approve a project to look for a work skiff, such as a seine skiff to use to move the steel float and for other purposes in the harbor. We can move the other floats with it too, but the more powerful and capable seine skiff or similar work skiff is really important for the heavy steel float. So we went over this in our work session, and this just approves the project for the Marine Facilities Coordinator to keep looking for a skiff. And the actual approval of the scoping document does not approve funding for it. We have another item on the agenda, an NCO that includes a movement of $30,000 into an account so that if we find a suitable skiff within that budget, we have the funding in place to jump on it and buy it. It could be something we find soon, or it may take months, but this just makes the project possible. So there's that item. Then the number nine is the fire hall painting project scoping and development form. Again, the approval of a project for the fire chief to develop that project. It'll involve getting quotations from qualified contractors to do the painting. And so this just approves that project to for the fire chief to proceed to work the project towards being able to put it out to bid. The actual bid on it would be approved by the council. The last item is the last item on the consent agenda is introduction of the capital project funding NCO, item number 10. And this is the one where this introduces the NCO, the non-code ordinance, and schedules it for public hearing next month. And that NCO provides the $30,000 for the budget line for the marine facility vessel. And it also moves another $5,000 into the library roof repair project, which we're using also to build the bike shelter, so that we have another $5,000 to use for the design, for the rest of the design and the approval by the fire marshal. So that's an introduction, and we will again have it on the agenda for next month for public hearing and approval. So do any members of the public wish to have any of these items removed from the consent agenda and move to new business? The item nine is on the consent agenda for approval of the scoping document. Is that something that you wish to move to new business?
So I was wondering where it went.
Yeah, I did read it. At least I thought I did. So that's the project that that the fire chief will be using, working to paint the fire hall. So, okay. Any other requests from the public to move anything off of the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to move any of these four items from the consent agenda? Okay, then I would like to recognize Councilmember Bella Furr for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
I'll second that.
Councilmember Furr, we give a second. Okay, it's seconded by Councilmember Muscoviac. Are there any objections to approval by unanimous consent from the council? Okay, seeing none, the consent agenda is adopted as presented. And we'll move on to ordinance for public hearing. And the first item is Item 11 on the agenda, an ordinance providing for the amendment of Title VI City Departments and Contracted Services, Waste Disposal and Recycling, Section 6.03.040 and 6.03.050, which was introduced in the July general meeting. At this time, I'd like to, that item is in the packet, and it essentially just provides for an operator position in addition to the existing operator manager position. So it's part of our reorganization of the staffing of the DRC. It is now 8 p.m. and this agenda item is open for public testimony. Do any members of the public wish to make any testimony or comment on this item for public hearing? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands coming up. So thank you. I'll close public hearing at 8:01. And do any council members have any, just a minute here. Okay, we'll move next to a motion, and I'd like to recognize Councilmember Jim Muscoviac for a motion to approve this ordinance change.
I move the council approve FY23-01 ordinance providing for the amendment of Title VI City Departments and Contracted Services, Chapter 6.03 Waste Disposal and Recycling, Section 6.03.040 and 6.03.050. Introduced August 18th, 2022.
Yeah, that was July 18th, 2022. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve FY23-01 ordinance providing for the amendment of Title VI City Departments and Contracted Services, Chapter 6.03 Waste Disposal and Recycling, Section 6.03.040 and 6.03.050, as introduced July 18, 2022. Do any council members have any comment on this agenda item? Okay, I'm not seeing any comments. It's, of course, a pretty straightforward small change to add the position into the structure of the staff. So I guess we have no further comments. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please? Hope we haven't lost our clerk from the, it looks like you're unmuted. Okay, Karen. Let's try it again.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Now we can, yes.
Okay. Sorry, I was messing around with my speaker. Okay, Councilmember Sharman.
Yes.
Councilmember Furr.
Yes.
Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden.
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all six members present in favor.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to new business. Item 12 is FY23-03, Introduction Providing Amendments to City Ordinance Title 5, Elections, Chapter 5.40, Absentee Voting, Sections 5.40.100, Chapter 6.60, Contest of Elections, Sections 5.60.010 and 5.60.020, with public hearing scheduled for the September general meeting, September 19, 2022. I will make a motion on this one. I move to approve introduction of City Ordinance FY23-03, providing for the amendments to Title V Elections, Chapter 5.40, Absentee Voting, Sections 5.40.100, Chapter 6.60, Contest of Elections, Sections 5.60.010 and 5.60.020, with public hearing scheduled for September 19, 2022. Do I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I guess I've got to repeat the motion again here. To approve the introduction of City Ordinance FY23-03, providing for the amendments to Title V Elections, Chapter 5.40, Absentee Voting, Sections 5.40.100, Chapter 6.60, Contest of Elections, Sections 5.60.010 and 5.60.020, with public hearing for September 19, 2022. And I would like to call on our clerk, who has done the work to put this together. Of course, we're to explain just what it is. Remember, this is only to introduce this. Madam Clerk, can you give a brief summary for those who are interested in what you, in the work you've done here?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, sorry, I don't quite trust my little tablet here. So each year when I prepare for elections, I go through the ordinance and review it to make sure that, there aren't any changes that needed to be made. And during last year's election, I took some notes and wanted to update the contested election section to be more specific and bring it in line with other communities in our area. So that section is actually the second one in the ordinance, 5.60.010. And then the other thing that was missing in our ordinance was personal representative voting, otherwise known as special needs voting. It's only addressed in our absentee voting section, not on its own. And so I used a reserved section 5.40.100 to include that in the ordinance. And that's basically it for changes to this ordinance. I can answer any questions if there are any.
We'll hold on any questions from the council when we get to council discussion on it.
Sounds good.
We're glad to have you back. Moved it, and we have the summary. At this point, I'd like to open the floor for public comment on this agenda item. And remember, this is to introduce the item. Essentially, this is whether or not to introduce it. There will be another opportunity for public comment. Will it be available for the public to read and consider for the next month? And then we'll have an opportunity for full public hearing on it in September. But do any members of the public wish to comment at this time? Leslie Sierstad has a comment. And yeah.
Oh, sorry to add time to your meeting, but I think it's important. On the part of this item, the contested elections. Okay. We all know we had a problem with this last voting cycle, and you handled it however you handled it. I ask you, be prepared ahead of time. Be prepared to, one, fully explain the difference on any amendments you want to make to the present item. Okay, so it'd be, this is what it says now, and this is what we want it to say. Be very clear with it. And I know you'll get the notices out to the public. I know you do that, to we, the public. The other thing is, make an effort, and this is a hard one, I know, for anybody that was involved last election period in the commotion that went on, right or wrong, however you feel, but make a big effort to communicate with them and share with them whatever you come up with. I know you say you put out everything in your notice and all, but make a special effort to maybe go over it with them. They may not want you to, or they may, whatever. But if you do your part in making a special effort to work things through. And that's all. It's just kind of a foremention for you to think about in your prep. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, Leslie. Do any council members have a clarifying question for Leslie Sierstad on this? We'll note that for those of you who aren't familiar with these ordinance changes, packet version, that you'll notice there are struck out sentences where there are lines through them, and those are being removed from the ordinance section, and then the bold and underlined material is what's new. So that'll help you understand the theory. Are there any other members of the public wishing to comment that I've missed? Okay, with that, we'll close public comment at 8:13. And any members of the council wish to comment on this, on the introduction of this item? Okay, I'm not seeing any further comment. It'll be back on the agenda next month if everybody agree. So, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Okay. Can we just pause for just a second? I was entering them in the wrong column, and now I don't have who seconded. Who seconded this motion?
Did we miss a second on?
No, I got it. I just accidentally deleted it.
It was me, Karen.
Thank you, Councilmember Sharman. Okay. Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all six members present in favor.
Okay, thank you. It'll be on the agenda for your public hearing next month. We have next item 13, which is another introduction of an ordinance change. And this is introduction providing for of FY23-04, providing for the amendment of City Ordinance Title 4, Revenue and Finance, Chapter 4.12, Management of Funds, Section 4.12.020, Deposits and Withdrawals. And there will be a public hearing scheduled also for the September general meeting, September 19, 2022. And just to explain briefly what this is, we are making a small change to the wording of our ordinance in this section that would allow us to have the city administrator be one of the people who can sign city checks. And since we first formed a city, all city checks have been signed by two council members. We now have an awful lot of checks that we're doing. We try to pay our bills immediately when we receive them. So we're cranking out checks every day. Sometimes it takes a while to get a second council member in to sign. So this would make it possible for us to have one council member, either two council members, that's still okay, or one council member plus the city administrator sign the checks. I'd note that as the city matures, it becomes less and less necessary that council members sign all the checks, but we still have at least one council member signing every check. A large city, of course, doesn't have their city council or their city or their assembly signing checks. So that's the idea behind this one. So I would like to recognize Tanya Lewis for a motion on this one, please.
I move to approve introduction of City Ordinance FY23-04, providing for the amendment of Title 4, Revenue and Finance, Chapter 4.12, Management of Funds, Section 4.12.020, Deposits and Withdrawals, public hearing September 19th, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have
a second that,
please? Thank you. It sounds
I'll like second that.
Councilmember Muscovia. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded to approve, I mean, to introduce FY23-04, providing for the amendment of Title 4, Revenue and Finance, Chapter 4.12, Management of Funds, Section 4.12.020, Deposits and Withdrawals. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this introduction? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this, on introduction of this item, of this ordinance change? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Muscovia?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Motion passes with all six members present in favor.
Thank you. We'll move on to new business item 14. This is a resolution, CY22-14, updating the policies and procedures of the Gustavus Public Library. And I'd first like to call on Councilmember Lewis Sharman for a motion on this, please.
I move for council adoption, resolution CY22-14, updating the policy and procedures for the Gustavus Public Library.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Sounds like Councilmember Lewis. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution CY22-14, updating the policy and procedures for the Gustavus Public Library. This has a resolution, so we've got a brief resolution that goes with the policy and procedure, and I'll read that first. We won't read the whole policy and procedure itself, but I would like to call on the library to give us, our librarians to give us a summary of that in a minute here. But the resolution reads, resolution CY22-14, a resolution by the City of Gustavus updating the Gustavus Public Library policies. Whereas the Gustavus Public Library policies require updating to comply with state and federal regulations regarding confidentiality and other issues, and whereas the Gustavus Public Library policies require updating to meet the current needs of the current state of the library, and whereas the Gustavus Public Library policies require updating to ensure all staff, volunteers, and patrons are aware of current library policies and are able to access them easily, and whereas formal action is needed to address the revisions necessary to the Gustavus Public Library policies, now therefore be it resolved that the City of Gustavus updates its public library policies as attached. And I believe we have one or both librarians online, and if one of them would like to give us a brief summary of what they have achieved in this update of their policies, I'd be delighted to call on you.
Hello, this is Jesse. Are you able to
see? We can hear you, Jesse. Please proceed.
Great, thank you. There's a couple of changes that we've made in there. In one section, our children's policy has some changes in it. One section we changed was to allow us to communicate with guardians of any children in the library that we may have behavior issues with, and we may have to ask them to leave the library, for example, if they're really rowdy or loud, and disrupting other patrons. And so in the current policy, it said that librarians and volunteers wouldn't communicate with guardians if behavior issues arose. And we felt that it would be important to communicate with the guardians, you know, give them a call and let them know that we had these issues with the children. And so we changed that. And another section on there, when children come to the library, it is understood that, you know, they either have their guardians with them or their guardians know where they are and we aren't responsible for those children. But we would like to hold day camps where families can bring their children and drop them off, and then we would have activities planned for the children throughout the day. And so we would assume responsibility of the supervision of children. And so we added a section in there that allowed us to assume supervision with written consent. Those were some of the big changes with the children section. Another section that we changed was with educator library accounts. We struck out a bunch of language to reflect what we are actually doing. It mentioned or described not allowing children to check books out when they come to the library with their teacher. Rather, the teacher had to check them out for the children. But during the last school year, we really encouraged children to get their own library cards and check books out on their trips to the library with their teachers. And so we needed to change the policy to reflect what we were actually doing there. Another section that we spent a lot of time changing was in the collections development policy. Part of that is with, part of that involves challenge materials, which allows patrons to contest materials that they find in the library questionable or they object to their presence in the library. And so we added details to the challenge materials section to make the process for challenging something more clear. And that's about it, except for a few little tweaks here and there.
Okay, thank you for the summary, Jesse. That's very helpful. I'd like to open the floor for public comment on this resolution, which would adopt those policies.
Point of order.
Do any members of the public wish to, go ahead. Did I miss something?
Yeah, we need to have a motion on the table first.
Thank you. I thought we did.
Oh, yeah. I stand corrected. Thank you.
Okay?
We're good.
It's tough working from a bunch of different locations here tonight, but thank you. Okay. So we'll go back to public comment then. We have Sally McLaughlin wishing to comment on this one.
Thank you. I would just like to compliment you, Jesse and Leanne, for the work you've done on this. And I really appreciate the effort you've put into all of it, but especially into the portions affecting the children in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any council members have a question of Sally McLaughlin? Okay, thank you, Sally. Are there any other members of the public who'd wish to comment on this resolution with it, with the policy change? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this policy change or have any questions for our librarians about it? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands coming up. So Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members present in favor.
Thank you. That brings us to item 15, which is another resolution, which I'll read in a minute. And this is CY22-15. Updating the policy and procedure for authorized account signers and administrative account access. And I'll note before I ask for a motion here that what this does is provide for a credit card to be available to the Marine Facilities Coordinator, because the Marine Facilities Coordinator was not on the list of approved credit card holders in our code. So I'd like to recognize Councilmember Joe van der Zanden for a motion on this item, please.
Yes, I move we approve
CY22-15, updating policy and procedure for authorized account signers and administrative account access.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please? Well,
I'll second that.
Just to make it. Okay. We'll go with Councilmember Muscoviac second on that then. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve resolution CY22-15, updating the policy and procedure for authorized account signers and administrative account access. And so I will read the resolution next. This is resolution CY22-15, a resolution updating policy and procedures for authorized administrative account access for Visa cardholders for the city of Gustavus account. Whereas policy and procedure for authorized account signers and administrative account access states Visa cardholders include the treasurer, fire chief, administrative librarian, disposal and recycling center manager. And whereas this resolution is to update the policy and procedure for authorized account signers and administrative account access Visa card holders to include the Marine Facilities Coordinator, whereas formal action is needed to amend policy and procedure for City of Gustavus Visa account holders, now therefore be it resolved that the City Gustavus City Council adopts the document entitled Policy and Procedure for Authorized Account Signers and Administrative Account Access as presented with this resolution. So again, it just provides for our Marine Facilities Coordinator to have a credit card, which will make it much easier when they need a widget from Toshco or some such. So do we have any public comment on this resolution? Okay, I'm not seeing any public comment. Do any council members wish to comment on this resolution? Okay, seeing none, we'll go for a vote then. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
All six members present are in favor. The motion passes.
Thank you. That brings us to item 16, which is merely a motion. And it has to do with, it is to authorize procurement negotiations with DNR for Harbor Tract B2. And I will proceed to make the motion here and then we'll discuss it further. So I move that the Gustavus City Mayor is authorized to negotiate with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources regarding the possible procurement of the Central Salmon River Harbor Tract B2 and the adjacent submerged river land and recommend to the City Council whether or not to procure the property. This motion does not authorize purchase of the property. So may we have a second to that, please?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. So it's been moved and seconded that the Gustavus City Mayor is authorized to negotiate with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources regarding the possible procurement of the Central Salmon River Harbor Tract B2 and the adjacent submerged river land and recommend to the City Council whether or not to procure that property. So the packet has the plat for the harbor tract, and for those of you who are unaware, the The harbor tract comprises three, or the harbor property comprises three tracts. Tract B1 in on the north edge to the north of Harbor Road, tract B3 along the bottom south edge next to the old golf course property, the property of the DeBoers, and tract B2, which is really the central part of the harbor and includes almost all of the active portion of the harbor. When the city formed, or shortly thereafter, it had the opportunity to choose municipal entitlements for land up to a certain amount of acreage from the state of Alaska. And at that time, they chose tracts B1 and B3 and did not choose tract B2. Shortly thereafter, the city negotiated with DNR a cooperative resource management agreement to manage the harbor tracts, and which would include all three of those tracts at the time. In fact, we hadn't, when that agreement was signed, the city had not yet completed that selection of B1 and B3, so it was really for the whole thing. And it was the harbor, the description of the harbor was as it was in 2004, which would be hardly recognizable today because we had the CRMA in place, we were able to make major improvements to the harbor, clean it up and construct the new boat ramp and other facilities there and make it a much more usable harbor. But we never did actually own B2. We managed that property under the authority of the CRMA, which is which expires in 2025. And if any of you happen to read it, the CRMA was written primarily for the construction projects that the council and DNR anticipated at the time, and this does not really reflect the current operating conditions. So the CRMA is somewhat out of date and lacking in specificity. The CRMA also does not include submerged lands beyond the boundaries of Track B2 and B3. When DNR representatives were here in May, we walked the harbor. One of their people, John King, who came along, is a person who deals with exactly this kind of land transfer. So he was able to walk the land with us and get an opportunity to understand what the harbor layout was like and so forth. And we asked him about how to proceed if we wanted to buy that tract rather than redoing the CRMA. And we asked, that tract B2, by the way, is 9.65 acres or some such. 9.65 acres. He said there's also the subtitle land out to mid-channel, which is covered by the CRMA. Is outside of that tract, but could be acquired for only the cost of surveying it. And the survey is sort of virtual because they just do it by GPS readings. They don't actually put monuments in the river. So, but he said he couldn't tell us yet what the cost would be per acre. And it may well have changed since we last bought land for the city hall lot from them. So we would have to begin a negotiation period and they would decide how much they wanted for it or if they wanted to sell it at all. So this motion would allow the city to begin that negotiation and get an idea of what the possibilities are there for buying that tract, which would then give us full proprietary jurisdiction over the entire harbor area, and we would no longer be dependent on a CRMA with the Department of Natural Resources. So that's the idea of this motion. So I would like to invite public comment on this motion to give the mayor the authority to begin negotiations on this and advise the council accordingly. Do we have any members of the public wishing to comment? We got a thumbs up in the audience here. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this? We did talk about it in the work session, of course. Councilmember Muscoviac.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah, I just want to say I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Any other council members wish to comment? Okay, I'm not seeing any more hands come up. So, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Thank you. Just takes me a second to navigate these, this little itty bitty screen I'm in front of. Okay, Councilmember Fur.
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac.
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman.
Yes.
Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Okay, all members are in favor. The motion passes.
Thank you all. I'll get a request off to DNR later this week to kick this off, and I'll report back to you as on developments. Yeah. Leslie Sirstad is wanting me to reiterate that this does not authorize purchase, and that's correct, that we are just negotiating and we'll see what's available, and the council would have to make a decision on purchasing. So thank you. Okay, with that, I'd like to move on to my mayor's report. You have it in the packet. Again, I'll kind of summarize it and ask you to look it over for more detail. I would like to add some, raise notice to the Healthy You in 22 program from the State Department of Health. Suggest that you go to their website. This is a program they're running all this year, and each quarter they have a new area of emphasis. And for this quarter, it's all about the healthy benefits of getting outside and doing, enjoying exercise and improving your family's fitness with outdoor activities, and just being out in the green environment, as we know now, is an important psychological and physical health measure for all of us. So I've included the link there in the report to their website, but you can go to the DHHS website. So that we, as was mentioned earlier, we do have, unfortunately, a bit of a surge in COVID cases. And today we had 4 new official positive test results at the fire hall. They're mostly travel related, but not entirely so. So there's some, quite possibly some local community spread going on. So I would urge everybody to be careful. Nobody really needs to spend the time being sick, especially in a nice summertime. And there are some people for whom being sick with COVID can be even life-threatening. So let's all be thoughtful about our neighbors and the people that we work with or visit or recreate with, and do whatever you can to avoid transmission. With regard to the opportunities for physical activities, I'd also suggest that you check the Gustavus Community Center's schedule. They've got great activities with weekly yoga and movement classes, and or you can sign up for the fitness center. A lot of ways like that to build your own, or take steps to improve your own health. And of course, there are the great trails that we have. Many of us enjoy walking those upland meadow trails above the beach park, the Nagoonberry Trail. And for a little more of a workout, there's always the Hydro Road and the trails up to the Yellow Lake Savannah that I'd like to recommend to anybody. We've got a lot of projects going, in a way too many of them for us to handle sometimes. On the library bike shelter, we just received the 20% design from PND Engineering, and we are looks like their plan is right on track. We'll give them a notice to proceed to 100% design as soon as we have funding finalized with the NCO that you just passed or that you just introduced. So we need another $5,000 to finish that design and also cover the costs of approval by the fire marshal. So we're making progress on the bike shelter. I expect, though, it'll be spring by the time we construct it, because we'll have to put it out to bid once we have the design complete. I'd like to congratulate the library team and the volunteers who completed the story trail at the library with the first story, Looking for Moose. Nice little walk and a fun story for the kids especially. And I'd like particularly to thank Dean Weichel and Gary Ogden for their work in building the posts that support each one of those story panels. The Good River Bridge, the road maintenance team is evaluating the options, and we're going to be meeting next week to decide what our strategy is for completing the repairs that are necessary for the Good River Bridge. This is the 1985 structure over Good River on Good River Road that we're trying to make good for another 40 years. And we'll be looking at the options provided by PND Engineering and then seeking grants from some of the infrastructure grant opportunities to see if we can get funding that way for that, because they're fairly expensive. The Wilson Road Drainage Rehabilitation Project, we have nearly completed the extension of the east side ditch all the way up to Hemlock Road. So that the intent of that is to capture any overflow floods that come down Wilson Road from the gravel pit and keep them out of the adjacent subdivision. So we'll be extending that ditch farther up and ditching both sides of the road and including a few cross culverts by the time we have this actually completed, but we're doing it one step at a time. So we've got that piece just about done, and BiteNet will be moving some of their junction posts so that we can finish. They were in the ditch alignment and they'll be relocating them so that we can finish the ditch at those spots. We had a project we've been doing on Tong Road. There are two pieces to that. There's a culvert down under the Country Inn driveway that we'll be doing as soon as the Country Inn closes. We've decided another portion of that to ditch the east end of Tong Road on the north side by the ag unit there, Toshua's ag unit. For that part, we've decided to rethink that project and redesign it for something to do in the near future. But that part of it, we won't be constructing immediately. We're also doing some cul-de-sac turnarounds on roads where there hasn't been enough room for the snowplow to turn around. It's been really difficult to plow, and so we're making improvements on roads such as Jensen, Spruce Lane, Pleasant Avenue, to even the end of Extra Tough, to make it possible for more turnaround space for the snowplows. The Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge, the bridge package, it has been manufactured by Western Wood Structures. It has gone to the treatment plant where it is now. The treatment plant should be done with it in about 4 weeks. It went on July 27th. So it looks like they will be shipping about the end of August, the completed package for us. And we expect to build the project as soon as it arrives. That, you'll recall, is a project almost $600,000 funded entirely by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as part of a fish passage barrier removal or fish passage improvement project. So we're very thankful for that funding. Heat pumps in city buildings. Dean and I met with Jason Custer of AP&T, our power company, to discuss heat pump installations. They promote those installations with a credit or a check, actually, that they provide for anybody, $500 that they provide for anybody who installs an electric heat pump. And we talked about strategies to apply to doing the first project here at City Hall that the council has approved. And Jason has already contacted one of the manufacturer's reps to see if they'd like to make a demonstration project out of our thing and maybe give us a heat pump system. So we're looking into those options and hope to be doing something and updating you in the fall on what the possibilities are. The old post office building, I'm still working on the renovation and improvement to the appearance of the building and making it possible for it to be used as a bike rental shop and repair shop. And I met with John Barry on to discuss water and septic options for the building. We don't anticipate doing a septic tank or a water supply system there, but perhaps a compost toilet and water reservoir would be all that would be necessary for the purposes of the bike repair shop. So we'll also be completing the grounds improvements on that to rake the debris from the remains from the brush that we cut and hydroseed it and just trim it up. So that'll improve the outside of it some. And we're also looking into painting the building and repairing or replacing, probably replacing the two entry structures on the building, all within the $10,000 that we have in the capital budget for that project. The Beach CRMA, the city received approval on our proposed development plan for the CRMA from DNR. And the final sign-off on the CRMA update awaits action at the director's office, but we have the approval to proceed to manage it according to the management plan that we submitted for their approval. And we're very thankful to Ben White and Megan Hilgartner at the DNR Southeast office for working with us so effectively on that. We had a search meeting, a meeting with Noble Johnston and Martin Benning, who are executives with the search that operates our clinic, on August 2. And Kathy Leary and I met with them. And included in the discussion also was Dr. Rod Vaught, who's the liaison between Search and the community of Gustavus, not just the city, but the whole community, to make sure that Search is meeting the needs effectively of the community and understanding what those needs are. So we had a good discussion about them, and they're enthusiastic about their what will be their ability to improve their offer of medical services here once they get the new building under construction. And it's great to see the building progressing as well as it is. City Administrator Kathy Leary and I met confidentially with the city attorney to for an update on the 77 same old road PFAS suit. We were joined in that meeting with Kyle Harden of the Alaska Public Utility Insurance Company, that is our insurance company covering our needs for that suit. So we got an update on that. Confidential meeting, of course. I also was contacted by the Tongass Federal Credit Union. They are headquartered in Ketchikan and serve several communities in Southeast Alaska from Ketchikan all the way up to Haines. They have a micro office over in Hoonah, and they are interested in opening a branch here in Gustavus. That apparently is also an interest of the Hoonah Indian Association at the Gustavus Inn. So it's quite possible that there could be a micro credit union branch opening up there. So they're interested in serving our community and they wanted to know more about us. So we had a meeting with their CEO, Helen Michael, and their Vice President of Operations, Garcia O'Connell, to discuss opportunities. We talked to Helen Michael on the phone, and we have a meeting with both of them on August 11th, scheduled by Zoom. So, and they may actually come out to visit the community soon. Today, we were pleased to have a visit with Mary Pertola, who is one of the three candidates running to fill Don Young's seat for the remainder of the term. And she met with Kathy Leary and me and also Leo Oaken of the Visitors Association today, just to learn more about Gustavus and how our city operates and what we do here and so forth. So we had about half hour meeting. It was a great pleasure to be able to give her an introduction to Gustavus.
Mayor, point of clarification. Her name is Peltola.
Peltola.
Peltola. Yeah. Just to.
I see. That. I noticed I'd misspelled it as in my report here. So thank you. I've got three other thank yous ending up my report. One is to Natalie Vaz of the Nat Ventures. For bringing to our attention some unsightly graffiti under the Salmon River Bridge, some that didn't reflect very well on the community, and to Jeff Jarvis of DOT for quickly responding and painting over that to remove them. And we hope that the community and member or people who had done that would think again about how graffiti like that reflects on the community. And it's best to leave it unpainted, please. So thanks to Jeff for getting that done. Thanks also to Jim Lesh for mowing the Salmon River Park grass the other day. It looks great. And I'd like to thank also the NPS and AP&T for working so hard toward the agreement to start up the intertie. It looks like we are very close to having that operational. And our city administrators handed me a note to thank Shane Patrick for the conduit repair to our internet line, which puts it out of reach of being whacked. So that's my report. Do any members of the council wish to ask any questions about that? Okay, well, it's all there in detail if you want to read it. That brings us to city council questions and comments. Do any members of the council have any things they'd like to raise sort of unrelated to the agenda or whatever, anything at all?
Mayor Taylor, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to add something to your report.
Sure.
The September meetings, the work session, and the general meeting are going to be postponed a week due to the Labor Day holiday.
Right. Thank you. I missed my handwritten note to add that. So thank you, Madam Clerk. So our meetings are shifted 1 week later because of the Labor Day holiday next month. Any other council questions or comments? Okay. Seeing none there, that brings us back to the second opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Do any members of the public have a comment on a non-agenda item? We've been giving Leslie another chance here.
I have another chance. Just real quick, we are talking about extending because of Labor Day. We have two items that are going to be discussed on the September 8th. So does that affect that?
Okay, Leslie, if you didn't hear, she's asking if those two items that were scheduled for public hearing on September 19th are affected by that. Yes, the public hearing will be on those days, on that day, because that's the rescheduled. Instead of having the general meeting on the second Monday, we're having it on the third, and that's the third Monday. So, okay. Any other members of the public have a comment or a question or comment on non-agenda items? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up, so I believe that gets us through our agenda, and we'll adjourn at 9:01 p.m. Thank you all for tuning in. Two hours.